Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What up, Ram Nation? This is DNVR Rams Live. I'm J Mike, and I'm joined by the homie Andre Simone. We've got a huge weekend coming up, a Mountain West action. It has been a gauntlet of a season. It has been chaos. It's been a whole lot of fun to talk about. So we're going to set the scene. We're going to talk about the most desirable outcomes from a CSU perspective. I'll kind of talk about how the seeding can lay out and what that could mean, the various implications of all that. We'll preview the Air Force game. We'll get into our final Mountain West power ranking of the regular season and went so fast.
Wow.
How you doing, though, man? First things first, how's it going?
End of an era, man.
The really is.
Power rankings. Our first season, football, basketball, and now...
It was successful. We had a lot of fun with it.
I know. I loved it.
I know. We're going to have to come up with a new weekly tradition.
It was a really cool way to follow along. I'm doing good. I feel like from a Rams perspective, a bit of like a calm before the storm right now.
Definitely speaking. I mean, obviously, It's a big game Saturday against Air Force. Frankly, there's a lot more pressure on this game to win than we would have ever imagined. Yeah. You never want to lose games to teams in the low portion of your standing. It's not like this game was ever, I don't know, risk-free or stress-free. I mean, it's always going to be a little bit of a wonky situation when you have a team that's going to be looking to punch up, and they've proven to be competitive, but frankly, the metrics are not good, so you have everything to lose and nothing to gain. Obviously,
they took you to overtime in Moby.
Well, I mean, you look at Air Force. They have two wins, both on the road. They're gonna, in terms of Mountain West play, Q1 road wins. They beat Air Force, or they beat New Mexico and UNLV by double digits, like really convincingly in their own buildings.
And took the Rams to
OT. And they took the Rams OT. They've been frisky against a bunch of other teams, but
crazy.
I mean, it's a tough spot if you're CSU. Obviously, you would really love the chance to seal your spot in the NCAA tournament. But just as a Mountain West guy as a whole, this year has been so fun. Like, I know that this team did not quite live up to the expectations I had. I mean, at one point we're saying championship or bust. From that sense, it's a bust. You didn't do what you were able to.
Definitely.
I do hope, though, that just people understand how unique this season has been. One, the fact that what CSU has already accomplished is unique in terms of the history of the program. But I mean, you're a handful of games away from things being so different. And I'm really glad that the Mountain West announced today that they're going to a 20 game schedule next week. I was all prepared to rant about it. I want to make it clear. Utah State is a deserving league champion. What they have been able to do this year has been incredible. Their ability to pull out wins on the road is next level. They deserve it. I am not trying to take away anything from them. But if we're being intellectually honest about the situation, the 18-game schedule, it favored them. They only had to play one game against Nevada and one game against UNLV. That's huge. If you're CSU, you would love to get rid of a game against Nevada and UNLV and flip it for a game against Fresno State and San Jose State. That's probably a guaranteed two more wins on your schedule.
Well, forget the Rams for a second. The Rams did their own damage to not necessarily be in contention.
Just make it fair, period, so you don't even have these arguments of like, well, yeah, Utah State was great, but we can poke holes into their resume, which is true, and that is fair.
Yeah. Well, and in a league that's finishing with the top four teams are within a game of each other, those two games on the schedule, you bet made a difference.
And everybody should play everybody. It's not the Mountain West it was 8-9 years ago where it's a two-bid league top. This is going to be the third year in a row where you've had at least four bids. You have a chance to get five for the first time in over a decade. You have an opportunity to get six, maybe even seven, depending on what happens with UNLV, who's frisky now. The hottest team in the league, really.
Crazy, I know. We saw it coming, though.
We did. Like, they have talent, dude. Yeah. That's. I remember totally, the first win over UNLV at Moby, and I one of the things I kept talking about was, I know their record is not great, but that is a damn talented team. And that was a good win that CSU just pulled out. I think, you know, a couple months from now, we're going to look at this and be like, whew, that was a nice one. It was. It's what's been fun. I understand the fact that they didn't, after the start that they had, like not even finishing in the top five. It's a bit of a letdown. And now you're in the tough spot going into this final weekend. But just so long as you get to the NCAA tournament, you have a chance at that point. And who knows? All bets are off. It's a single elimination format.
100%. And I mean, I think you can regret and bemoan not being more in a position to actually compete for the tippy top of the conference, given where we were at the start of the season, 10 games into this thing. Totally, man. I mean, look at, go back and watch that, you know, the Creighton win. And
or even
Creighton's
CU at
home.
Do, like,
right, right.
God, the offense felt a lot different that night than it has of late.
No kidding. But even those couple games we can nitpick that we've bemoaned before on this show, that would have you right there with San Diego State.
Yeah, I mean, just right, that two-game swing 20. Is a huge difference.
Yeah.
Even if you still have the collapse in Laramie. Yeah. Like, if you change nothing other than you get to play two more games against San Jose State and Fresno State, like, it's going to be beneficial. I think at this point, the best way to kind of sum it up, to put a bow on this whole argument, is that if you are a league that is this good, that is in contention to send more than half of the conference to the NCAA tournament, then everybody should be playing everybody twice.
Yep, no doubt.
Teams like San Diego State have pushed against it historically. You know, they've only gone to Laramie like three times since 2017. Like, that's a tough game that you're able to avoid year in and year out. Now, I understand the argument that when San Diego State is your only consistent tournament team, you're probably going to try and shelter them a little bit and maybe give them a break here and there.
I hate it.
I do too. But I mean, like, I can understand the logic of it from a business standpoint. They're making us money. We don't want to screw them necessarily.
Yeah, I get it.
But it's not the same spot. And it's just like with what we said with football, it's not just Boise and then everybody else. This is a really competitive league top to bottom. You saw that within the games. Yes, you had some moments that you'd like back if you were CSU, but the thing I'm proud of is this team has, they have been competitive, and I'm writing a column on it and just kind of the impact of the seniors and what they've done this season. But like, yeah, you lose by 16 or whatever it was against San Diego State, but that game got completely blown out by the free throw disparity and the fact that the Rams were in foul trouble late. You have the horrible loss in Laramie. That's it. Like, every game you have been right there. Mm-hmm. And yes, the game in Albuquerque, it stings. The buzzer beater from Jared Lucas. Man, I haven't felt so sick to my stomach after a regular season loss after that. Yeah. Well, I guess other than Wyoming in a while, but
coming out flat against St. Mary's at home. When
but that's a great team, you know, and you totally, still, you man, lost by three, like on a day where you didn't have it. I guess I'm just saying is, in the grand scheme of things, winning 20 plus games, and this is all under the assumption that you still make the tournament, like, this has been a fun year, and I at least hope that Ram fans can have enjoyed what this has been from an entertainment perspective, because this league has been, it's been tight.
It's the league that makes it so entertaining. I mean, shoot. Can you remember a more entertaining basketball or football seasons in this conference than this basketball season right here? 23-24? Because this is an all-timer, man.
There have been some fun. I mean, like, 2013-14 was a fun year for the league. And I had some fun during the Tim Miles years in, like, 2011. The league was really good then, too. Yep. I think back to, like, BYU with Jimmer Fredette, or, like, Kawhi San Diego State. Like, there have been...
Those are great ones.
There have been some teams, I think, that have been probably deeper than what the top team would be, like Utah State this year.
Football
but top
wise,
to bottom...
Doesn't even come close,
no,
right?
It's the parody, the just... Every night, the product has delivered.
It's phenomenal.
All these teams have been great against each other. Everybody's been able to beat up on everybody. It's
And honestly, I think it takes away from the sting of, okay, the season didn't go as well as maybe your
hoping,
your wildest hopes and dreams might have been. But it really lessens that sting when it's like, shit, you're in such a good league and this league was so fun. Like, I hope it's this competitive, this fun, this loaded for years and years to come. Like, in football, you're maybe wandering eye and like, ah, what other opportunities, what other conferences may be out there. In basketball, it's kind of like, man, I hope they can run it back. I hope this league can be like this for a long time because this is a blast. This is exactly where you want the Rams to be, right?
Oh, yeah. At
that's what running it
hoops.
Back is.
Yeah.
You want to kind of just, can we do this a couple more seasons? This is a blast.
Well, you just
want to
set
up?
That foundation and, you know, then your expectations shift, you know, the expectation stops becoming just hoping to make the tournament. But like, you know, we want to make a substantial run. You know, we got through one game. Now we're hoping we make it to the second weekend. Now we hope we make it to the Elite Eight. You know, that's, you got to build that. And it's a process. And right now we're seeing it with like 6-7 teams in the league. And it's just a lot of fun. Again, like it doesn't take away from the disappointment or the frustration of a couple of those tight losses. They sting because you had expectations because you know what was possible. But, you know, at the same time, I just think you have to look at some of these losses so much differently than you would in a year where the Mountain West was like a 2 or 3 bid league because, you know, you're playing a lot of damn good teams is what it comes down to.
Oh.
And it's why going in, it's Thursday, you know, going into tomorrow night, we can get a couple of these seeds decided when San Diego State and Boise State play. As of right now, though, 8 and 9, the only seeds locked in place in the Mountain West. Technically speaking, Utah State has at least a share of the Mountain West Championship. They will be the one seed.
Yeah.
But we don't know for sure if it's going to be an outright championship. There's 3 other teams that could get a share of it. I mean, the fact that we have 5 games left to play, and the only thing that's set in stone is that Wyoming's the 8 seed and Fresno State's the 9
seed.
It's
incredible.
It's insane, dude. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing, truly, man.
All right, we're going to get into that. I'm about to set the scene for CSU in a big game in the Springs against Air Force, a must-win game for the Rams. Real quick, I did just kind of want to run through what's at stake for the various teams. As I said, Utah State with their win over Fresno State the other night. They claim at least a share of the title. They can claim the full title with a win over New Mexico this weekend. That's a game that matters a lot for CSU, and I'm going to throw a lot of info at you, so just bear with me for a second. If UNM wins, not only is that huge for their at-large resume, you know, CSU and UNM itched a little closer towards the bubble of late, but if UNM wins, where it gets really interesting, they could technically still get a first-round bye. It opens up the possibility of a Nevada or a UNLV sharing part of the conference title. A lot can still happen depending on how these games kind of shake out. So I'm going to go through it here real quick. If UNM wins, it opens the chance, like I said, for Boise State, Nevada, or UNLV to take a share of the title. Nevada and UNLV play on Saturday. That's a huge game. Those two teams are locked into the top 5 no matter what. They could finish second. They could finish third. They could finish fourth. We don't really know yet. Where it gets especially interesting from CSU's perspective, though, is that game matters a lot because the tiebreaker in the Mountain West is record against the top seeds. So, like, let's say theoretically New Mexico loses this game against Utah State, CSU beats Air Force, you have the exact same conference record. You split against each other, that doesn't determine it. You both split against Utah State, that doesn't determine it. Where it would now be determined is by the winner of Nevada versus UNLV, because New Mexico, they have if UNLV wins it, then CSU is in a good spot because you split against them and they swept New Mexico. But if Nevada wins it, they swept CSU and New Mexico tied against them. So they would be the 6th seed and we would be the 7th seed. And why all of this matters, and I know I've thrown a lot of different things at people now.
Yeah, what are we rooting for? What's the outcome?
Where this gets interesting from CSU's perspective is I think you would rather finish in the 7th seed than the 6th seed, because if you beat Air Force and San Jose State are going to tie with the same record, but Air Force would fall to the 11th place because San Jose State swept them. I would rather play San Jose State in that 7-10 matchup day one than have to play Air Force in the 6-11 matchup for the 3rd time this season. Just in principle, I think it's really hard to beat a team 3 times. Obviously, they've been really frisky. We're already worrisome going into this game on Saturday.
Right.
I know I just threw a lot of info at you guys, but I think finishing seventh, ultimately being in that 7-10 matchup while still getting the win over Air Force is the best spot.
How would that project then for round two?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. You're probably going to play like Nevada or in the five as the five spot or the winner of the 4-5 game, depending on like who's there. Uh-huh. San Diego State, Boise State, they're all going to be kind of in play there. San Diego State, if they beat Boise State on Friday night, they're locked into the four seed, but if they lose, they can be as low as six. So, I mean, like, there's still a lot to be determined there, but really what it comes down to for CSU, because you are locked in either the sixth or seventh seed, is are you going to be playing Air Force or San Jose State in day one, which to me, like, you just got to get through at the very minimum day one. I would love to see the Rams be at least playing on Friday. Like, I want to see them get a couple of wins just to strengthen that resume, maybe get them up another seed line or two now that you've dropped some of this stretch.
But the next two are must wins. But
the next two, regardless, are must wins. And so from a CSU fan's perspective, I think, funny enough, you're rooting for Nevada to beat UNLV. You're rooting for Utah State to beat New Mexico, get the outright title. You would then be tied with UNM, but UNM would take the tiebreaker over you if Nevada beats UNLV. And for the Rams, that would actually, I think, be a more favorable matchup.
We need a graphic slash chart of like,
on paper, it looks so clear to me. And I start talking about it and I'm like, I know, I just threw so many things. People are like, what did he just say? I will write about it.
We're rooting for Nevada. I like that.
You're rooting for Nevada.
San Diego State.
Rooting for San Diego State over Boise State.
San Jose State.
And rooting for, well, San Jose State's done, but that's who we want to play. They're 2-16.
Okay, so their two wins were over Air Force. That's taken care of.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what it comes down to. A lot at stake, man. All of this is still possible with five total games left in the entire Mountain West slate.
And I mean, I'm a believer in the conference tournament. Like, I think all sorts of stuff can go down.
Dude, you get rolling, you get the right match. I mean, anything is possible in March, and that's why I get a little bit defensive. Obviously, I said that this team could do great things. I still think any of it's possible. I mean, the reality of a single elimination format is you could have been a four seed and still had a rough day and you get bounced day one, or you're the frisky 10 seed that finds their way to the Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. You never know. Obviously, you want to put yourself in the best position possible. But from a college basketball enjoyment, like viewership standpoint, this has been as much fun as I have ever had. And I hope that's not lost on people, despite the fact that we've had, the last 2 weeks have been tough. It's been really tough.
No, I hope people have really embraced it. And when your conference has this kind of year, there's some conference pride and are really embracing that conference pride and just general allure and how fun all of this has been.
I mean, my thing is, like, look at a team like San Diego State. The fact that the highest they're going to finish is fourth. Yeah. I mean, these were the two highest ranked teams coming into to Mountain West play at the beginning of the slate. It's just been one of those years. Everybody's beat everybody. Unfortunately, CSU didn't eke out just a couple more of those 50-50 games, If you're able to win one of those games against Utah State or Boise early, it takes a little bit of pressure off you. If you don't blow it in Laramie, it obviously takes some pressure off you. You steal even one of the Nevada or New Mexico games, and you're still right there, at least finishing like top four,
right?
Which would have, you would have felt a little bit better about than optically being in the position of sixth or seventh. Yeah. And I get that.
Yeah.
But at this point, you're just get to the tournament and anything is possible.
Damn straight.
I don't know about you guys, but after the last couple of weeks, I have definitely had a few moments where I'm like, I could use a beer. I could use the ice cold Coors Light. I just need to reset.
Oh, yeah.
And, that's with Coors Light, I'm able to do so. I'm able to put all the stress, the chaoticness, the disappointment. I just put it away. Boom. I'm sipping the Rockies. I mean, it just feels perfect, too, being in Colorado. Like, I'm going to sit back and have a moment. Why not do it with an iconic Colorado brand like Coors Light?
Absolutely. We're having one on set. Those mountains are going to be blue once you get back. Hopefully not just from the conference tournaments. Once you're done with your Rams basketball-related travel, first show we do back in studio, we're having a cold one together on set.
Hopefully, we're toasting either way to what we've done this year. But hopefully it will be in celebration of an epic postseason run.
Big time.
Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. When it's time to refresh, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. When you want to hit that reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart. Just go to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. I also want to talk to you guys about Empire today. With Empire today, you know that you are getting a premier experience. They're quick, they're convenient, they're professional. Ooh. They've got the price match guarantee, which is great. Empire today is the place to get new flooring. They're going to have copycats, but those copycats, they can't beat Empire, not on their quality, not on their service or their speed. So what they do is they try and undercut you by selling you a crappy product at a lower price. They wouldn't put that own flooring in their homes. Why would you put it in yours? What Empire leaves out of their selection is just as important as what they leave in. And with their virtual floor designer, it's a great way to see how any flooring is going to look. You know, it's so tough when you're in a big box store and, you know, what's this going to look like in against my wall? You know, the lighting can be kind of weird. I like it in here, but is it going to look like that with the furniture on it? With the virtual floor designer, it's a great way to see. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All of our listeners can get a $350 discount when they use the promo code DNVR. Restrictions to apply. See empiretoday.com/DNVR for details.
Beautifully done.
All right, let's talk about this game on Saturday. Air Force is a three-headed monster.
Yeah, you've been talking about that. Obviously, they took the Rams 2 overtime last time. And I mean, you've been talking about those three guards a whole bunch.
It's just they're kind of tricky because they've got three guys, Bo Becker, Ryan Petritis, and Ethan Taylor. All three average about 14 points a game. They're all basically like 15-5 guys, right, whether it be assists or rebounds. Any of them are capable of getting hot. I would say that Becker and Taylor are the guys you're really worried about from deep the most. Petritis, a little bit more of a slasher. He's a guy that can kind of get to the hoop. He's got some length.
Yeah, he's a crafty guy.
The big key going against Air Force is to just not let all three get going. I think it's one of those, like, if one of them goes for 25, you're probably not in a terrible spot so long as the rest of the team isn't killing it. Mm-hmm. They don't have a ton of depth. They love to jack up the three ball.
Yeah.
They shoot it pretty well. I mean, they're the second best three-point shooting team in conference play at just under 37%. But 48% of their field goal attempts come from deep. So, like,
crazy.
They're a team that's going to jack it up.
And at home, you can get hot.
And that's the thing.
That's
you're in your building.
Those matchups scare you a little bit, yeah.
And what worries me a little bit about this matchup, because CSU's, they've been pretty solid defensively all year. I mean, it's really what's
especially
allowed them to hang in conference play. They've been a top two defense. So
yeah, no, they've been fantastic.
It's been great. What worries me in a game like this against Air Force, especially if they get hot early, it can be a situation where you start getting complacent, you start settling for threes yourself, you start getting into a three-point shooting contest. Yep. And the thing about Air Force is, like, they're dead last in the conference in defensive efficiency. They're dead last in defensive effective field goal percentage, so teams are able to create high-quality looks against them and score. You know, teams are scoring at 57.5% from two-point range against them. That's the highest rate in the league. To me, this is a game where you have to play inside out. I really want to see CSU establish a presence in the paint. Hopefully, you know, get to the free throw line. If you can get some of Air Force's stars in foul trouble, the better. Mm-hmm. What I really don't want to see, even if you hit a couple of them early, I don't want to see a situation where you're trying to go shot for shot all game and you put up like 43s, because I think that is the recipe where you open up the possibility of disaster happening, because right, this team's, you know, we've seen it. They've had their moments, but they're a good jump shooting team. That their best over the last 6 weeks, it has not even been that. But they have shown time and time again the ability to win the paint. And I just want to see an effort there where you get the ball to Scott. Stevens is driving, you kick out. Yes, you're going to still have to hit some of these threes for the spacing and being able to knock them down when they're open, when it's Cartier at the top of the key, right, or one of the wings in the corner or something like that. The other game,
see ball movement. You know, see the ball movement, see them play their style of ball, impose themselves. It's a great point. So many times we see that jump shooting team can kind of lull the other team into playing like them.
And they're going to throw some zone at CSU and literally dare you to shoot. Like, that's where you have to be, you know, going back to what Medved said when he was on our show, which, you know, we really appreciate him coming on multiple times this season.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
You know, there are times where even though it's open, it's a good shot, you're not going to be mad with it. You got to just be a little bit more picky.
Yep.
And with this team and how savvy they are with their ability to share the ball, that is the nice thing. It's like, so long as you are determined to keep going inside out, to keep working it, like, I don't think they're just going to be able to stop you from doing that. This isn't San Diego State. It's not Boise State. You know, they don't have those type of athletes to just completely take away every driving lane. But they're going to play hard. So if you don't, you know, if you don't make the effort, if you don't push it a little bit, then it's just easy to play right into their hand. I think there's going to be opportunities for offensive rebounds available. I think there's going to be opportunities for back cuts, especially like when Air Force goes into those zones. That's when I'm like, I'm sending Neek to the rim.
Yeah, then. Absolutely.
I just want to see them really set the tone and be the team that basically dictates the style of play. And not is not in a position where it feels like, oh man, we let Air Force get hot, and then we did turn up the defensive intensity and figure it out, but like establish a lead, get it going, and you know, just really set the tone. Like, that's what it comes down to. Obviously, you just got to win it, just period. Like, I don't really care outside of that. Just find a way to win. But you really would benefit when it comes to the metrics if you could like roll in this game.
For sure. I wonder how much two bigs versus like four out, which we've seen a little more lately, we see to kind of counter Air Force's size and just be more perimeter oriented, you know.
I'd be fine with that. In times past, I almost feel like we kind of go small ball and play to them. Like, I would rather
two bigs.
Let's post up, man.
Yeah.
And whether it's Bemba, whether it's Cartier, I think Cartier and Clifford being a factor is huge. That was huge the other night. Those guys, it felt like they had more of their typical offensive performance on top of Isaiah and Joel doing what they have done repeatedly now for the last 3 weeks. That's what it comes down to. Like, if you can get the three, or, you know, if you get those four guys rolling, this team is so hard to beat.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Hopefully a nice way to close out this regular season and really get into conference tournament mode.
I can't wait, man. It's going to be a fun game. If you're looking for last-minute tickets, the place to do so, obviously it's Game Time. Nobody is better at delivering last-minute tickets for the fans. They've got deals sometimes even an hour after it starts. What's awesome about Game Time, though, is they've got all-in prices, views from your seat, the best price guarantee. They just take the guesswork out of buying tickets. I mean, so many sites these days, they hit you with service fees and convenience fees, and you want to watch basketball fees. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. With the zone deals, you can pick the section. Game Time picks the seats. You're going to save an average of 18%. And with the Game Time guarantee, you're going to get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. You heard me right, 110%. Download the app, create an account, use the code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms to apply. Again, create an account. Use that code DNVR at Game Time for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
Hell yeah.
Now is also a great time to become a DNVR diehard. We're going to have NCAA tournament coverage, conference tournament coverage.
Yeah. Send the NFL draft. And the Buffs out there. I mean, it's, and then tourney time.
Yeah. I mean, it's, what more could you ask for right now in terms of, we've got NBA action, we've got NHL action, we've got the peak of college sports. Spring ball's about to start on the football side. There's a lot of hope for football programs around here. The Broncos are, you know, knock on wood, hopefully going to pull themselves out of this crevice someday. We shall see. But now is a great time with it's when you're a DNVR diehard, you get access to the members only Discord, which is a ton of fun. I'm always locked in there talking Mountain West with CSU fans, Wyoming fans, Boise State fans. They're all in there. We've got 20% off of events, 20% off merch. You get discounts on beer. If you're not a diehard, what is you doing, baby? No kidding. Sign up now.
Well said.
Let's get into the Mountain West Power
Rankings. Let's do it.
I'll talk more about this game against Air Force again tomorrow. I'm also going to kind of talk about the 20-game schedule in detail and just why I very much support it, why I think it could be intriguing. Moving forward in terms of maybe luring over like a Gonzaga or a St. Mary's or something like that. Who knows what's going to happen with the future of Washington State and Oregon State. There's a lot to look at when it comes to that. But I want to get into the power ranking. We didn't do it last week just because the football schedule was released and I wanted to react to that. In the bottom, we've got San Jose State. That is who we are hoping to play round one. We want to be clear. We've got love for Tim Miles and Cardenas. I'll say it every single time.
He's been saying it every single time.
But, I mean, when you look at, I think, the direction that these teams have trended the last couple of weeks, yes, they're frisky. Yes, they've had their moments. But I think the talent gap between them and everybody else, it's pretty significant.
They've been less frisky and they've had fewer moments, you could say.
Yeah, yeah. It's really what it comes down to. What I liked about them, I've seen less of it. And that's what I dislike about them, I've seen a lot more. Right.
Exactly. Not entirely unfrisky and momentless, but as far as frisky and moments go, probably lower than everyone else. Just so you understand the science that goes into these rankings. Yes. I like it, though. This is our bottom tier.
Yeah. So at number 10, I'm going Fresno State. I know technically speaking, Air Force is going to fall below them. Air Force just scares me more at this stage of the year. I think their star power is a little higher. I like Isaiah Hill, Fresno State's point guard, too. Again, like there's nobody in this conference. It's just like, man, there's not a single piece. I couldn't see a way in which they had a good day. Like we've seen everybody have their moment. I don't know. I feel like at this point,
Air Force has looked better. Fresno's just kind of struggled on the road. Not had a lot of oomph to them.
And again, I know they hung well with Utah State. That game went to overtime. They played pretty well against San Diego State until the end. But to me, just what it comes down to is like, who would I be more scared in a tie game with 5 minutes left? And that's Air Force. So I'm putting Air Force at 9. I really like their three guys. I do. I think there's going to be a lot of coaches in their DMs this offseason, and I hope Air Force is able to hang on to them, frankly, because they already lost two guys to power high major programs, whatever you want to call it, last year. They're frisky, though, like we said. They're frisky.
Totally.
And you got to respect them.
Yep.
I'll be honest, too.
At home, they can shoot.
I'm trying to. So before the overtime game against Air Force and Moby, I was giving Air Force no love, dogging them.
It's true.
We're going the opposite. We're giving them respect, basketball gods. I understand that Pertritis is a bucket. I know that Bo Becker can get it done. Give me some love, basketball gods.
Well done, J-Mac. Well done. This is how it's done in the crucial part of the season.
Got to bring out the big guns. Yes, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yes, my guy gets it.
Number 8, we're going Wyoming. I think it's pretty clear. We've been pretty consistent here that bottom third, Air Force, Fresno State, and San Jose State. And then for a while, there was kind of another third. Now I feel like it's more like there's the bottom three, then there's Wyoming, and then there's the top seven, and there's a tier in there almost.
They're a tier of their own. UNLV has left them all alone in their own tier.
That's what's crazy is we're like 3 weeks removed from UNLV being in this 8-7 range. And now I think you could put them at 1 and it wouldn't be an insane take.
No, you're right. I mean, for them to be 12-5 and one game out of first in the conference, guess what? They had to be the hottest team in the conference for the last month plus.
And you can bring up the fact that it's frustrating that same team loses at home to Southern, that they've got 3 Q4 losses. It makes no sense. But I mean, when you've got young talent the way they did, they came together. They've come really strong. We'll get to them in a sec, I guess. Yeah. I don't know why I'm talking about them. But
No, leads in.
Number 7, UNM Lobos, man. And another team that they've had moments where I think they've been as high as 2. I don't think they ever quite reached that top spot in the power ranking this year.
Gosh, I think actually there was a week where maybe they made it, man.
They might have.
There was that stretch where they were the one team winning on the road. You remember that?
And I still think that when they're functioning, like when they're rolling offensively, man, they're fast. They've got great athletes. I love JT Toppin, the true freshman. Yeah. Donovan Dent's come on so strong for them. Their veterans are really erratic, though.
If you did like a 100-game simulation, different schedules, different neutral fields, tournament outcomes and stuff, I would put my money on UNM being the one who ends up with the best record in that 100-game simulation.
I like that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think I'd come around to a team you've been hot on late. We'll get to them in a sec. At number six, we're going Boise State.
Good.
I love Degenhart. Yeah, I love how they play defensively. That's about all I love about them, though. I don't love their point guard play. They can get really stagnant offensively.
They play some ugly basketball sometimes.
It's just not aesthetically pleasing. And that's not to say, it would not shock me because they're physical, because they play defense, and you've got a guy that can be a presence in the post. I could see them winning a game or two in the tournament. I could see any of these teams winning the Mountain West tournament or winning a game in the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely.
I don't love what I've seen from them offensively.
No. How could you?
And you've been locked in on that. Even times where I've tried to give them more credit. You're just like, no, dude, they're ugly.
Yeah, I'm such a hater. I still screw Matthews for going off against the Rams. And I mean, this is how loaded the conference is. 6 and 7 are always going to be like, whoa, what?
Exactly.
But it's like, someone's going to have to be in that seventh spot. Like, it's no way around it.
Well, and the funny thing is, even I remember asking Medved a couple weeks back, I know you want to win the league, but more than anything, you probably just want to finish top five to avoid, having to play that first day in the tournament. And he was like, yeah, obviously that's a huge factor. But he's like, the reality is there's going to be two really good teams, maybe even three, that are playing day one.
100%.
That's just what it came down to.
And then round two is a bloodbath. And then round two is gloves are off, mano a mano. Yeah.
It's
going to
be at minimum a Q2 wins if you get through. So.
Yep.
Eric in the comment section wants to know, he thinks if Colorado State can win two games in the Mountain West tournament, they're safely in the NCAA tournament. What do we think? Eric, I think so long as they win on Saturday against Air Force and they win day one on Wednesday, they are in regardless of what happens on Thursday.
Yep.
I mean, chaos can happen. There could be a bunch of bid steals and maybe that makes things weird. But
I think that impact further down the rankings.
I do too.
I think the Rams are too high up for that to impact them. Eric, what could really screw them is a loss to Air Force, is a loss round one. Those are the must not let happen. No way, no how.
Get through those, you're going to be dancing.
Okay, then you do have the pressure to win two. Maybe
if you lose to Air Force, you might have to, you probably have to get to at least Friday to where you're feeling good. I mean, who knows? We've seen weirder things happen.
And it sure would help the metrics. And then breathing easy if those two wins came by a nice healthy margin. No one would complain about that.
It would really behoove CSU to juice the net by kicking the shit out of their next two opponents.
Can we now launch the shirt now? Juice the net. Come on, baby. Let's go.
That said, just win. Just win and you're in, baby. Win and you're in. That's what it comes down to.
I mean, I'm bugging Justin about this shit every single week. It's like, okay, what's the path? What do we need?
Well, and I never thought it would be this close. That's why for so long I was very dismissive. And even still, the people that act like they've been in this position for 3 weeks, no, they haven't. And even so, the fact that they're able to be one game above 500 in league play and still be comfortably projected like as a single digit.
It literally proves they haven't been in this situation all year.
It's quite definitively validating everything I have said for 6 weeks.
Opposite.
But that's just how it goes in a crazy league, man.
Okay. Give it to us. Come on.
Five.
Number five, we're going CSU.
About where they ended up all year, huh?
Yeah.
Second half. They were flirting with that top three a lot. And then, nah.
I still think at their peak, you know, they're capable of it. And we've seen it. I think defensively, they've elevated in a way that's allowed them to be competitively every game. But the offense has fallen off a cliff. And that's why, you know, that's been the biggest difference is I don't think you fear them offensively the way you fear, like, Nevada when, you know, Lucas and Blackshear are going. And now they've got McIntosh and Davidson rolling. We'll get to that in a sec. At number four, we're going San Diego State. I think they have to be top four just because defensively, the veteran presence that they have, they've been in every game. They haven't had some of the bad losses that like CSU, New Mexico, some of these other teams that are below them have had, Boise. But I also don't think their ceiling is quite on par with what it's been in some of the years too.
I agree. Slowly but surely, they're the team I feel a little safer about though. It's your Boise State football analogy.
There is an inevitability to it. Especially with San Diego State. And we've seen it a bunch of times
the
where
exact same
they'll
thing.
Have a, and this isn't even a down year, frankly. They're being projected as like a 5 or 6 seed right now.
They're ranked 21st.
Yeah. But they'll have a year where they finish 5th in the Mountain West. Then you turn around on Saturday, there's San Diego State in the Mountain West championship game. It's just what they do. I have a lot of respect for them.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see how this tournament goes with just the talent that this league has. It's going to be,
tell you what, from a betting really perspective, maybe you just like bet on the 6th and 7th best odds and hope you hit it. Because
why not? Because
any of them are certainly capable.
Why wouldn't you? Oh my God, I love that strategy.
UNLV coming in at number 3, the highest they have been.
What?
I think they were as low as 10 at one point this year after losing to Southern.
Well, they had to have been. There was for sure a point where they were not as good as Wyoming. And probably not as good as Fresno or San Jose State or Air Force, you know? Like, pick your poison who was having a nice little stretch between those three. I could see it. UNLV, it is absurd. They are 12-5 in the conference and just a game out of first.
And they
absurd.
They got robbed against Utah State, too, a team they only played once. Like, that was a 4-point play determined by the refs, and I don't like to say stuff like that very much. And again, Utah State, you're deserving. I love everything you've done, Aggies, but if you're UNLV, that's a tough one to stomach. That said, they're going to be interesting because I think if they somehow beat Nevada, if New Mexico were to beat Utah State and they can take a share of the title, how do you leave them out at that point? Like, I know their at-large resume isn't as strong from the non-conference standpoint, but they did beat Creighton. Really weird team.
They're a crazy one. They are one of the craziest teams in the entire country, the path they have taken.
If they make the tournament, it's a super fun story. Deedon Thomas Jr., freshman point guard, a stud, guy to keep an eye on.
I'd love to like take 5 minutes to get into the path for UNLV. It's round 2. Get to round 3, basically.
Depending on what happens with Nevada. If they beat Nevada, now that's a true road win this weekend. I think if they beat Nevada and then win two games in Vegas, I think their at-large conversation becomes very legitimate because they have a chance to add multiple more Q1 wins by the time it's all said and done.
Crazy, man.
Absolutely crazy. Number 2, going Nevada. They have been really impressive. They had a couple losses early in the league slate that made me be like, I don't really know if it's them.
Well, their non-conference was as weak as any of the top 7. Right?
Yeah, I mean, like the record-wise, it was good, but they didn't beat
the competition.
You beat TCU, which is a good win. They beat Washington, like CSU, which is a good win, not a great win. But yeah, like they didn't have Creighton, they didn't have going into Gonzaga and beating them in their own building, like San Diego State did.
Yep.
Man, their shot making is probably the best in the league. They're really scary. Lucas, if you get Blackshear healthy again, like I said, McIntosh is hitting threes at a rate that we've never seen him do before. All of a sudden, they might be the rare team that benefits from having a star get injured briefly and having to adjust becoming more well-rounded and then getting that star back, and all of a sudden you're a deeper, more versatile team. Nevada's scary. That's a team that I think has real, like, Sweet 16, Elite 8 type potential if they get the right kind of run.
Yeah, man. 100%. They just have a lot of go-to offensive guys.
Scary, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Number one, Utah State. I think you have to give it to them, especially coming off of the other night. They clinch at minimum a share of their regular season title. Their ability to pull out some of these tight games and win the ones where they maybe didn't have their A game, I think, is a testament to the coaching that Danny Sprinkle has done, to the veteran presence that they have with Osabor and Darius Brown and all those guys. Really, really impressive, considering that's a team that returns 0 points from last year.
It's wild.
National Coach of the Year, by the way, Danny Sprinkle, and it's not even close. I know people are going to say Hurley at UConn, and they did. They had to replace like 5 of their 8 guys in the rotation, too. UConn is exactly who we expected them to be. Utah State, I'm pretty sure they were picked to finish 8th or 9th in the league. They won. I mean, the job he has done is incredible.
Insane.
I hope they hang on to him. You know, it's a tough spot for all these top Mountain West teams. You're going to be thrown out for every high major job that opens.
Well, I just think raw talent-wise, I like at least 5 of the top 7 better than them.
Agreed. And like Darius Brown, he's a nice point guard. And Osabor's a stud. But outside of him and Brown, it's like, yeah,
that's right, man.
Give me Nevada. Give me UNLV, San Diego State, CSU, UNM. Boise State's the one where I'm like, all right, I'll take Utah State's build over that.
That's why I said 5. We're on the same page, baby.
This has been fun, man.
What a time.
This has been a lot of fun. Maybe I could do like a time lapse of the Mountain West power rankings, like how they've changed to the week, because it would be all over the place.
Yeah, there's a lot of change, and it all comes down to this tourney now.
I can't wait, man.
First the weekend.
This is March. This is March, baby.
Yes, it is.
Shout out to everybody in the comment section that was rocking with us. I appreciate everybody that has been locked in. Real quick, I guess before we get out of here, I'll answer this. Eric says he wants to know why UNLV isn't getting considered more for the NCAA tournament. The problem is they consider your entire resume, and it's the same thing that benefits CSU, that they had this great start in, you know, November and December. It's what hurts a team like UNLV. You're playing your best ball now, but they had some devastating losses, like not just bad losses, awful losses that really hurt their resume. I do think, though, like I said, if they pull out a couple more wins here, you have to start really taking them seriously. And I mean, maybe they just win the Mountain West tournament and they, you know, take the at-large, and then you've got 6 other resumes that are good enough for the tournament on their own. So we shall see. It's been as much fun as I've ever had. Shout out to Dre for being with me through it all. Shout out to Tiffany on the sticks, making our dreams come true, running everything smoothly. And shout out to all you for rocking with me all season long. I will have tons of content from Vegas next week. I cannot wait. If you want to say what's up while you're out there, I'd love to see all of you. We can talk hoops. We can take a trip down to the strip. That's what I was trying to say and then got tongue-tied.
Better than taking a strip, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be weird if people just start stripping, but it is Vegas. You know what they say. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. Right. It's got real weird here at the end. Shout out to all Ram Nation. Much love, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
We all silly like the mayor.